And now I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 3. The book of Acts records the history of the early church. It has been commonly called the fifth gospel because it continues in its record the works that Jesus had begun to do in the days of his flesh. Acts chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee that Thou hast seen fit to use us as unworthy and undeserving, inadequate and insufficient as we are, as earthen vessels to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Thy marvelous grace. It is indeed our prayer that in these moments the Holy Spirit would arrest and capture every heart. That man who needs the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let him go away without Jesus. That woman who needs to make that full and absolute commitment of her life to Christ, don't let her go away. That boy or girl, that family that would need to come as a family unit about an altar of prayer, don't let any of us go out of this house until we are fully, absolutely, unconditionally committed to Thee. Bless the reading of Thy word and the proclamation of the truth toward the salvation of lost souls and toward bringing honor and glory to Thee and Thee alone is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I want you to note again the answer of Peter. Why don't you read verse 6 with me? Let's all read it together. "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' Such as I have." Now, every man, in one measure or another, is a dreamer. We dream about what we would do if we were to become President of the United States, or if we were to become the senator from our district or the governor of our state, or if we were in the position of the wealthy men, the Fords, the Rockefellers, and what have you. But as I search the Bible record, I discover this. The men who were the mightiest men of God, the men who were used the greatest and in the most effective way, were not dreamers at all. They were men and women who used what they had. Such as I have, give I thee. My message today is in the form of a question. What do you have? What do you have today as a Christian? And we're going to ask this question to a number of the outstanding and some of the lesser lights of the Bible and find out just what they had and what they did with what they possessed. First of all, let's ask Moses. Moses, what do you have? And the answer would come back, and you'll read it in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. Moses said to God, when God asked him, what do you have in your hand? Moses said, I have but a shepherd's rod. And this shepherd rod represented Moses' tool of occupation. Remember now that God had come to Moses to call him to be the great deliverer of the nation Israel. Well, how's God going to do it through Moses? And how's God going to do it through a shepherd's rod? What is that in thine hand? Only a shepherd's rod or a shepherd's staff. And God said to Moses, put it on the ground. And he did. And on the ground it became a serpent. And God said to Moses, pick it up. And when Moses picked it up, it became once again a rod in his hand. And in so many words, God said to Moses, this is going to be a rod of deliverance, a rod of power. And I believe this morning that God is asking you, what do you have in your hand? You might come back and answer, I have nothing but a pen or a pencil. Use it for God. I have a paintbrush. Use it for God. I have a saw and a hammer. Use it for God. I drive a truck. Drive for God. I till the soil. Till it for God. I work behind the machinery across the bench. Work for God. Whatever you have in your hand, if you will surrender it to God, it will become a rod of deliverance for somebody else. And I know that you're saying, but preacher, I don't have much. And I don't have a big job in life. And I don't have an outstanding occupation. Moses didn't either. He was only a shepherd. But God took the rod of Moses' occupation and delivered 3.5 million people. You may only have the rod of your occupation, but God can make it a rod of power and a rod of authority. What do you have? And then somebody says, but preacher, my job is not church related or Christian related. Let me help you. I do not believe that there is any job on this earth that is honest and upright and legal that cannot be related to the church and to the Christian faith that we hold and we embrace. Use whatever God has put in your hand for Him, for Christ, for the church, and it will become a tool of deliverance. Let's move on and ask Samson. Samson, what have you in your hand? You know the story from Judges 15. The Philistines were after Samson and were after the Israelites. And I heard Dr. Lakin say the other day that he didn't believe that Samson was any great and mighty man. He was just an ordinary man. But God said to Samson in so many words, what do you have in your hand? And believe it or not, Samson said, Why, the only thing I see nearby, the only thing I can get my hand on, is the jawbone of a donkey. But you know, Samson used the jawbone of a donkey to kill 1,000 Philistines. Well, what can a man do with a jawbone of a donkey? How could he do anything with that? I'll tell you how. The verse that precedes that tells us, "And the Spirit of the Lord was mightily upon him." The difference between accomplishment and failure, the difference between success and defeat, is the Spirit of God in your life and mine. It doesn't matter what else you do have. If you are void of the Spirit of God, your instruments are no good. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. God says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." I wonder today if we have not so organized and become so meticulous and so particular that in many of our churches we are putting the emphasis upon mechanics and upon gimmicks and programs and projects when it is of the Lord, and if God is in it, no one can defeat it. And if God is not in it, take your hand off it. Paul said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." You're not in a carnal fight. And Paul says, "Our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual, to the bringing down of the strongholds." No wonder Paul said, "Put on the whole armor of God." No wonder that Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Paul couldn't do anything in himself. You and I cannot do anything within ourselves. It doesn't matter what advantage we have, what education we have, what scholarship we have, what intellectual powers we have, what physical might we have, what financial or wealth we have. We can do nothing without him. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Jesus said, "Ye shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit," or "ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you." What do you have? Maybe like Samson, you have only the nearest thing at hand, the jawbone of a donkey. But God used that when he empowered it to kill 1,000 Philistines, and Israel won the victory. So God does use insignificant persons and insignificant things to confound the things which are mighty and strong and wise. Say, let's ask David. "David, what do you have?" David comes back with the answer, "Why, I only have a sling and 5 small stones." And do you know the story? Israel was again at war with the Philistines, and they had a tremendous fighter on their side. He was a giant of a man. David was only a shepherd boy. And this giant of a man had come out to challenge the armies of Israel. Literally, to challenge God. For when you challenge the people of God, you're putting God to a challenge. A man said to me yesterday, with whom I was dealing and trying to win him to Christ, he said, "Preacher, you're wasting your time. I don't have time for you. I don't have time for God. I don't have time for the church." I said, "Mister, God's word says you're going to have to take time to die." He cursed and said, "I don't, you know what that blankety blank book is? That's ink and paper." And I quoted him another verse of scripture. And I told him our philosophy. He said, "That's your idea." I said, "No, it isn't, mister. That's God's word." The last thing I said to him was, and I looked him square in the eye and I said, "Mister, one of these days my telephone is going to ring, or some preacher's, and somebody's going to say, 'Come and bury him.' But it's going to be too late then. I'm saying to you this morning that when you challenge the people of God, the army of God, the church of God, you're challenging God. That man wasn't downing me. He was downing God. And I tried in my feeble way to stand up and defend the truth. David said, I've got a sling and 5 stones. But somebody said, David, there's a giant out there. Oh, I know there's a giant out there, but my God is able. There's a giant out there too in your life. But if you'll take the sling of the Holy Spirit and the stone of God's almighty and powerful word, you can bring down the giant from off his throne. What do you have in your hand, David? Just a sling and 5 stones. The giant came out and said, David, come to me and I'll break you into pieces and feed your bone and your flesh to the beast of the field and the fowl of the air. And David said, did somebody say something? Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear, but I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And it didn't take but 1 stone, 1 blow, 1 message to bring down the giant. Why? Because David was willing to use what he had. He didn't say, oh, if I had a 20 millimeter gun, if I had a submachine gun, if I had a cannonball, I'd do it. No, he used what he had. You don't need a submachine gun. You don't need a cannonball. All you need to do is use what you have for God. And you know the rest of the story. Paul put it this way. If God be for us, who can be against us? You might feel that your weapon and your tool today is just as ineffective as David's. But remember, when the Spirit of God gets hold to it, it'll do mighty and wonderful things. It's not by might, nor by power, not by swords and staves, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. What do you have? Let's ask the widow in Elijah's day. In 1 Kings chapter 17, God had said to Elijah, you go where I want you to go, and I'll find somebody to feed you. And Elijah stepped out by faith, and when he came to the edge of the city, he found there a widow gathering sticks to make a fire, to cook a meal, the very last that she had. And Elijah said, ma'am, would you get me a drink of water? I've been preaching all across the desert and I'm awful thirsty. Would you get me a drink? And she turned to go to her house to get him a drink. And he said, by the way, he must have been a Baptist. Because he said, by the way, while you're there, cook me a cake. Oh, she said, I don't have but a handful of meal and a little bit of oil, and I'm fixing to eat that, and then we'll starve to death, I guess. And Elijah said, make me a little cake first. There's a principle here. Make me a little cake first. And she made him a little cake first. She obeyed the voice of God through the prophet Elijah. And hear me when I say it. God's word declares that she was not out of meal and not out of oil until the famine ended and the rains came. What did she do? She put God first. Now please don't misunderstand me. I don't want any place of elevation. I'm not deserving of anything. Don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. But when you honor God's servants, you're honoring God. Look at it in the life of that woman who had only a handful of meal and a little bit of oil. She carried out the principle that was set forth by Jesus, who said, seek ye second the kingdom of God. That's how a lot of Baptists have read it. They've been reading the reverse standard. They put it in reverse. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Make God a cake first and he'll make you 10,000 cakes. Just use what you got. She carried out that principle of seeking God. You may have little of the world's goods, but you know, after all, it's not what you'd do if riches were your lot. It's what you're doing with a dollar and a quarter you got that really amounts, really makes the difference. If you'll just use what you've got and if you'll put God first, I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word that God will see you through every famine of life. If you'll just use what you've got and put God first and give him the rightful place in your life and in your time and in your money and in your energy and in your strength. And if God doesn't do it, this book isn't true. And I've never known him to fail yet. You put God first. Using what you have, it may just be a handful of meal and a little bit of Wessanol. But if you'll make God a little cake first, he'll make the meal and the oil run you all the days of your life. What have you got this morning to offer him? Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Say, there's a little boy in the New Testament. I don't remember his name. Maybe you do. No, you don't, because he's never mentioned. His name is never mentioned. Somebody said, "Oh, if I could just be in the spotlight. If I could just be the Sunday school superintendent or the departmental superintendent. If I could be the choir director. If I could be the preacher. Then I would." No, you wouldn't. If you're not willing to hold the door for a little child to get in, you wouldn't be worth your weight in salt to do anything else. You won't do what God has given you to do. You wouldn't do anything else if God opened the whole thing up to you. You're not fooling anybody. The little lad was unnamed and unknown and almost unnoticed, except one of the disciples happened to see him over there with a bag of lunch. And we asked him the question, "Son, what have you got?" And he said, "Well, my brothers are down here working. Mother sent me over to take a little lunch to them. I've got 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish." And that was brought to Jesus' attention. And one of those Baptist disciples said, "But what is that among so many?" Some people say, "Well, if we had $1 million in the treasure, we could build a new building." You'll never get a building that way. "If we had $10,000, we could send it to missions." No, you wouldn't. It's not what you do if millions were your lot. It's what you're doing with a dollar and quarter you got. Church and individual. The little boy had 5 pieces of bread and 2 little old minnows or some kind of fish. I don't know what kind. They weren't worth much in his hand. They would not have satisfied a good hungry man. But when he put them in the hands of Jesus, they fed 5,000 men beside the women and children, and they took up 12 baskets left over. You see what an investment you can make in the cause of Christ? Just give him your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes, and he'll use them. So many people are holding back on God and saying, "I don't have much to give, and I don't have much to do, and I don't have much talent, and I don't have much strength, and I don't have much time." Give God what you have, and he'll multiply the rest and use it. When David Livingstone went as a missionary to Africa, the only thing he had to give was his life. When Adoniram Judson went to Burma as a missionary, the only thing he had to give was his life. When Hudson Taylor went to China as a missionary, the only thing he had to give was his life. Let me ask you, what do you have? What do you have? Oh, somebody says, "But preacher, I have only a grade school education." Then put it to use for God. Somebody says, "But I have only a meager income." Put God first in it. Somebody says, I have only myself. Mister, if God gets yourself, he's got it all. Nathan Hale said of his great country when he was to be executed as a spy by the British, "I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." Oh, I would to God that we might say today, "My only regret is this, that I have but one life to lose for Jesus Christ. He that saveth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Those five missionaries that landed down there in among the Peruvian Indians, all they had to give was their lives. And because of their giving of their lives, hundreds of others have given theirs into the mission cause. Just one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Mother and Daddy, let me ask you this morning, what do you have? Oh, you say, "But I have only one daughter." I talked with a woman some time ago, and I talked to her about surrendering all that she had. And she looked at me and she said, "Preacher, does that mean my only daughter?" And I said, "Let me tell you what Jesus said it meant." And I turned over to the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. And I said to her, "Listen to what Jesus says. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." What do you have, Mother and Daddy? Surely it would be better to give him or to give her to the cause of Christ that pays dividends for eternity than to give them to the greatest business endeavor in this world. For this is the greatest. Somebody says, "But preacher, you don't understand it. I only have one son." Let me remind you that God had but one son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God had one son, and you know what he did? He sent him to this world as a missionary that you and I might be saved. We never would have been saved if the greatest and first missionary had not come. On this Mission Sunday, I ask you again, do you feel that you are any better than God was? He gave his only son. What do you have? God doesn't ask for more than you have, but he asks for all that you have. I invite you today to give what you have to him. I invite you to put in his hands whatever you have and watch it multiply and watch God use it toward the salvation of lost souls. And I want to warn you, and hear me carefully when I say it, whatever you have in your hand, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, Jesus gives us the story about himself in the person of someone else, a king, going away to war. And he called his servants, and he gave each one of them, shall we say, a dollar bill. They called it a pound. And when this king got back, he called his servants to give an account. And the first one said, "Lord, here's your pound and nine others beside. I put it to work and they're $10 now." I'm using everyday terminology so you'll understand what I mean. And another one came and said, "Lord, here are 5 pounds. I put the $1 to work and it's earned four more, and here's five. One came up and said, unfolded his in a napkin, and he said, Lord, here's your 1 pound. I knew that you were an Oster man, and I wanted to keep it for you till you got back. You know what Jesus said? Why didn't you put that out that it would make some interest at least for me? That's exactly what he said. And then he turned to another servant and he said, take away from this man the $1 he's got and give it to the others. If you don't use it, whether it be a dime or a dollar, a shepherd's rod, a paintbrush, a hammer, a pencil, whatever it is, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. What do you have? Maybe you could say with Peter, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I'll give. Remember, God had but one son. He gave him as a missionary to this world. This is Mission Sunday. What do you have to give him? If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing you can give is your heart. You can say to Christ, come into my heart, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. For God is rich over all to them that call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not whoever is baptized, not everywhere partakes the Lord's Supper, not who learns the catechisms, not who memorizes the scriptures, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I ask you again, what do you have? Let us bow for our prayer. Right while we're seated, I want us to bow right where we are for a moment. And while your heads are bowed, I want to offer this prayer. Heavenly Father, thou knowest what we are and who we are and what we have. And thou hast never demanded of us more than we have or more than we are. But we know that thou hast demanded all that we have and all that we are. If it means mother or father, son or daughter, brother or sister, help us to give what we have to thee, into thy hands, as a shepherd's rod, as a sling and five stones, as the jawbone of a donkey, as a little meal and a little oil, as five little pieces of bread and two little fish, as an empty shell, whatever it might be, help us to give it to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. While our heads are still bowed, and before we stand for a stanza two of an invitation hymn, I want to ask you today, have you been saved? Are you a Christian? Do you know beyond any doubt whatsoever that Christ is yours and you're his? That you know that you know that you know that you're saved. If you do not have that assurance, if you do not know that you're saved, if you've never really anchored your faith and trusted Christ, while nobody looks but the pastor and the Lord, and while everybody prays, if you're lost and you're concerned, I want you to slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I need God. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody like that today? All over the house, pray for me. I'm lost. I'm unsaved. I need the Savior. I need Christ. I want to be saved. Young or old, man or woman, boy or girl, pray for me. Anybody like that today? Can I assume then that everybody's saved? Are you here and you would say, preacher, yes, I am saved. I know it. I could take you to the place. I could tell you the time. But today, I don't have the joy. I don't have the peace. I don't have that full surrender and full commitment. I don't have the real satisfaction that I believe a Christian ought to have. We're not going to put you on the spot. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's looking but God and this pastor. Everybody else is praying. I wonder if you'd say, preacher, yes, I'm saved and I love the Lord and all of that, but I don't feel that I have that peace and joy that I ought to have as a Christian. Would you put your hand up and say, pray for me? Yes, God sees it there and here. And yes, over here. Somebody else, just put your hand up and say, Preacher, I have a need spiritually, and I believe God can meet it, and I want you and the people to pray for me that He will. Anybody like that? Yes, God sees your hand. Anyone else? Yes, and yours, son. You may put it back down. Anybody else? Maybe you're a visitor. Maybe you've never been in this church. Maybe you never will be. But you'd say, preacher, I have a spiritual need in my life, and I want you and the people to pray for me. Would you put your hand up right now? God sees it. And there and over here and back there. Yes, God knows about it. Anybody else? Would you say today, preacher, I'm saved and I'm doing as best I can, as best I know how. But I'm not a member of the church, and we're seeking a church home, and we need spiritual counsel and guidance and prayer and help. I wonder if you'd put your hand up and say, preacher, pray for us that we'd make the right decision about our church membership. Anybody like that this morning? All over the house. While we wait a second. Is there anyone that I've left out and you'd say, preacher, you've missed mine a million miles, but I do have a spiritual need in my life. I need grace and courage and strength. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning before we stand? As we stand together, and while your heads are yet bowed in prayer, and while the choir sings a stanza two of invitation hymn, let me say just a word to you before we sing. While you remain in prayer, nobody's stirring about or looking about, but everybody's in reverence to God and to this hour. And you'd say, preacher, I raised my hand a while ago. What's my next step? Just put one foot in the aisle. God will show you. You'll say, but preacher, I didn't raise my hand a while ago, but my heart is beating fast now. And I feel that I have a need today. What should I do? Just give God a chance. Just be willing to surrender everything to Him. Just come to this altar of prayer. You don't have to sign anything or pledge anything or join the church or say anything. Just come for prayer while we sing the first stanza, while you remain with your heads bowed.